B-Pod Studios.
The Falcons, you know, I was up at 4 a.m. watching that, and then watching them bloody drop it, you know. No wonder, you know, Aguilar got hate with that guy saying about Aguilar dropping passes while he's catching babies out of windows, you know. He's,
right!
He is a terrible wide receiver, and yeah, okay, Wentz made a few bad passes, and I don't know about you guys, but I loved it when he threw that tablet on the floor and then kind of was like, right, F this, I'm going to come back in and I'm going to make a play. And he did, you know, he came back in a couple of days and done some game-winning drives like he did last week. So I'm fully confident after this that we can get something against the Cowboys. You know, it's another late one for me, so it's going to be tough, you know, especially with some Sixers games kind of that I want to watch. But I feel confident now. Greg Ward looks like a legitimate... You know, if wide receiver, no, he's not a DeSean Jackson or maybe a Jeffries, but I think he can put out some plays, and Dallas has got respect in now, so maybe he's going to open up the game up for Goddard and Zach again, and maybe play Saunders a bit slot. I don't know, obviously I'm British, I don't know everything about American football, but maybe play him because hopefully Howell will be back. And if you have a three-headed monster, we might actually have a good chance to keep the defense off the field and run it into the ground and get the win next week. So we need to get it, you know. Otherwise, we're going to be overreacting about Sixers losses. I don't want to be doing that right now in December. I want to be doing that in February, March, not now, you know.
Exactly. I'm completely with you. And yeah, by the way, Sixers, forget about yesterday in Brooklyn. Forget about that one, Sammy. You saw them. It was a good week for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, three or four wins before the loss. It's fine,
they had five wins in a row, including... Exactly. Denver, and then the Celtics on the road, the Friday after, it was a good win. That was a good stretch. Forget about yesterday's game. That's a throwaway.
Yeah, no, I was trying to call on Friday, but you were obviously busy and popular because you do a great show, so I know it's hard to get in sometimes, but I was tired and I was so happy I stayed up watching that Celtics game. You know, I hate them just as much as you do.
Nah, I'm proud of you, Sam.
Before I go, can I say one thing? There's a guy called John who lives in the Poconos, who's a Vikings fan, and I do bust his balls up with my mate Traz about watching the NFC Championship game from a couple of years ago. But he said to me just a minute ago, when I told him I was going to call you, he's going to be a Cowboys fan all week. So we need to call out frauds like that. Even though
he's a Vikings fan who wants a roof for the Cowboys. By the way, he's stupid. Because if we're going to look at it in the right way, if we're going to be honest, the Cowboys are better than the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
So if you're the Vikings, you should want to play the Eagles, right?
I agree.
Unless you're afraid.
Well, I would be, you know, after that. I mean, I think second, if we get past the first round and DeSean Jackson's healthy, I'm calling it now, we get to the Super Bowl. We'll probably lose, but Wentz playing the Jackson, if he's healthy in the NFC Championship games, we can get there.
That would be the best. Talk about shutting all the haters up. Oh. That would be the best. I think we got to wait for a year for that stuff, Sammy.
I know. I'm just trying to.
But
sorry, go on.
No. My whole thing is to, who knows, right? You never know.
Exactly. I mean, I put a dollar bill up in this. Like I said, John and Trav, who I live with. Sorry, I'm taking so long, but I put a dollar bill up in their local pub, local thing, and said after we lost to the Seahawks a couple of years ago, I said 2018 Super Bowl champions. I run it as a joke. And it happened, so you never know. We've got.
That's right. The Seahawks did do that. In fact, Seattle beat the Rams, and my man Spags, who had to suffer through Sam Bradford that year. And Seattle went on to make a statement. Sammy from England. We love you, Sammy. It's 12 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPE and Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the fabulous Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Dealing with father-son hate right now.
Can't believe it.
That's generation hate. That's what they are. Generation hate.
Carson Wentz numbers for your dad here?
Yes.
This from Booney, who is the producer on the NBC Sports
Love
side
Booney.
Of Mike Missinelli's show. Carson Wentz, last two games, fourth quarter / overtime, 28 of 35, 284 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions, a 138.6 rating.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
It's actually not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It's not bad. You know, I love all the haters, like my father. I'm not a hater. I just don't wear Carson Wentz glasses.
I'm just being objective.
Right. Their objectivity is overt criticism. Listen, I already said, his pocket awareness isn't good. he's got to get rid of the football. I said 100 times. But ultimately, he bailed them out twice, thrown to nobody. Manny Moe and Greg. That's what he's got. People don't realize the level of the depth of receivers they don't have. All right, here's Doug, day after.
What do you, Cass got your tongue?
Do you have any updates on injuries that, you know, do you expect anybody back?
Good question. Everybody is trending in the right direction. I'm optimistic. Lane obviously is going to be, a day-to-day thing. Yeah, he is getting better. Don't expect him, to do a whole lot, today, tomorrow, Wednesday, right now. We'll see where he's at later in the week. Nelly's in the same situation. Jordan's in the same situation. So really no change or anything further with them. Who else? Barnett's is doing better. We expect him to do something later in the week, see where he's at, get him on land and get him going. So everybody's getting there. It's a slow process, but they're healing.
The importance of the game, do you expect that if there's close, that these guys are going to try to...
Yeah, bottom line is I'm not going to risk further injury with anybody for a game. But if they're capable of playing in this football game, then we'll make that determination later in the week. Yeah, he showed up on the injury report, and he's got some lower body right now with him that he should be fine with it. It's just going to take a couple days here to rest and get him back on the practice field.
In most cases, his snaps were down. Was that related to concussion or was it performance related?
No. I think, one, the structure of, the offense. And then also, TJ Edwards has been playing well, too, when he's getting some opportunities. So there's a little bit of that, So keeping all those guys as fresh as possible. Plus, they're all playing special teams. So just keeping everybody as fresh as we can.
You
had one last snap, so. Kamu? Yeah. Yeah, TJ's been doing really well. Obviously, Nate's been doing well. We're getting Nigel back, here the last couple games. So there's three, four guys there that have been playing more snaps. Well, I think on the inside, we know the type of player that Greg Ward is, and because we've seen it, day in, day out. It's a little bit of a tricky situation because as you're trying to construct your roster for each game, he was on practice squad to start the year, and you're trying to maybe, is this the week that we can get him up? And then there might be an injury in the game that we have to make a move and bring somebody else in a spot, whether it be maybe on the defensive side or the offensive side, whatever it is. And it just didn't work out until, here in the last, three, four games. So we're excited that obviously had a chance to bring him up. We know the type of player he is, and he's proven that on the field.
Doug, you had success on third down yesterday. You had 16 of them.
Too many.
Yeah. What do you guys need to do first and second down to kind of cut those down?
A couple of them were due to some penalties that backed us up, and so Gabe put us into some third down situations there, some third and long situations. But we had a couple of negative rush plays on first down, a couple of screens that went for a negative or no gain. Those are the types of things that kind of set you up for a third and three, four, five, maybe even a third and two. So we got to do a little bit better there from execution standpoint on first down. So try to stay ahead of the chains that way. But it's not a major thing that we were focused on. We did overcome some of those penalties in the game yesterday, and thought that our third down rushing yesterday was probably the best we've had all season too.
As a play caller,
it's come down to the last two drives. What can be said for the way that you guys have won the last 2 weeks, knowing what's coming this Sunday without
the I just think it just shows that, you know, each week you got to play for 60 minutes. And the game, you play the game within the game, and there's going to be highs and lows, and then obviously for us as an offense, it's great to see the fact that they put it on their back and they go down and have a chance to win the game, and then credit the defense, we fumble the ball, the offense fumbles the ball, and we only hold them to 3 points at that point too. So you don't ever hope that it gets to that point, you know, during the game. But I think the guys understand that, hey, it does take, 60 minutes. And quite frankly, when we got the ball back at the end of the game there, I think everybody knew that we were going to go down and score and win the football game at that point. So it's a credit to the guys. They stay in the moment. Nothing's too big for them. They overcome a lot of adversity. A lot of it's self-inflicted, obviously. And they overcome it and have given themselves a chance to win and have done that in the last 2 weeks.
Doug, why does he come out with two of his best performances, certainly two of his most clutch performances over the last 2 weeks without several of his primary targets? What does that say about his development? What does that say to you where he is?
He's doing some really nice things for us. And he's, one of the things that I might have mentioned it after the game or maybe this morning, on the radio, is just that he's understanding, the offense and where everybody is and spreading the ball around. Of course, our running attack has helped that. The screen game has helped that. And that just comes from me calling more of those plays for him and helping him be successful there. But, he's just he's maturing that way, and it's really good to see. He's understanding the game, and it takes time. This is with young quarterbacks and young players in this league. It takes time, and that's where he's headed, and it's really has been good to see the last couple of weeks, especially the overtime, win there with New York, and then this week to really put the team on his shoulders and say, hey, let's go win the game.
As a follow-up to that, Doug, do you find yourself as a play caller trying to be or forced to be more creative or different and personnel limited?
No. I just call what's on our sheet and what we work on during the week and how we put our guys in position. And we had, seven different personnel groups yesterday in that game. So we're moving people around in different combinations of guys and ended up using all of them, and that's this time. The thing is, you got so much tape out there and, coaches and teams are going to study your tendencies and your personnel and, they're going to have a beat on you. So you have to be a little creative and move some guys around and use different personnel groups and, use the strengths of each player too to your advantage, and that's what we've been able to do the last couple of weeks. It's helped us.
That was the greatest, the biggest creative we've seen from you this year. Do you sort of relish that opportunity to get creative? What is the Monday, Tuesday?
I think it's a fine line on how much you want to be creative, especially with some young players on offense. You don't want to get so creative that you're putting too much in and then it becomes a mental block for a lot of these guys. But at the same time, we know that we have to do some things to take advantage of our strengths on offense and put people in position. So we find though that's what these first couple days of the week are for, is to put that together.
Doug, you haven't had a lot of success recently against the Cowboys.
Thank you.
How much does that gnaw at you, the Cowboys, and how is that going to make this game that much more fun?
Listen, they got us the last time, and they kicked our tail, and they had a great game plan, we just got to come prepared each day this week, and study the tape. Coaches have got to have a great game plan, obviously, and you know, they've got to, our players have got to understand the game plan, how we're trying to, you know, either attack or defend the Cowboys and then go play. And, you know, we're here at, you know, week 16. And again, like I said, there's a lot of tape out there. Another division opponent. There's probably a little more, obviously, on the line, you know, this week than most weeks. But it's where we are right now, and we've dug this hole, but we're slowly climbing out of it, and we're excited for the opportunity.
The personnel packages, getting back to that. I mean, it just could seem like it was more of a limited scope yesterday. It was a lot of targets for some of the other guys.
Well, the easy answer would be to expand that.
Oh, okay. And then will you?
Yes.
Carson has the second most fumbles in the NFL. 14. What are you teaching him at this point? What does he have to do in order to clean that up? Obviously, he's
critical. Yeah, it was unfortunate. I think we put the ball as an offense on the ground four times yesterday, and that's unacceptable. Whether it's the quarterback or, you know, receivers, whoever it might be, running back. So we have to do a better job. Players have to understand the importance of the football. It's obviously the most prized possession, you know, during a game. We got to protect it, and he understands that, and we're going to continue to talk and listen. You hate to beat the dead horse, but sometimes you have to, you know, and keep pounding the point home, and we're just fortunate we were able to overcome, you know, putting the ball on the ground as many times as we did. We had a snap on the ground yesterday, and Boston put it on the ground one time. I mean, you know, Carson there the one time, so we were just fortunate to overcome that.
How long you watch the coaches film of a play like Carson made through the Miles Sanders in the back of the end? How do you watch that and evaluate it?
Well, I saw it live, and I had a great view right down the sideline from where I was standing, and it was one of the most impressive throws I've seen, honestly, in my career, either as a player or a coach. I mean, it was just an impressive throw. Impressive, probably more so the catch, obviously, where Miles was, and there were, I believe, three Redskins and an Eagle all lined up in a straight line, basically between Carson and Miles, and just a tremendous play by both of those guys, by Carson to extend the play. Just unbelievable, you know, unbelievable play in that game, and one that we needed.
How much does it help, with all the adversity you guys have gone through the last couple of games, especially after the young guys,
you know, one of the things, they might be young by age or experience in this league, but they don't consider themselves young, and that's a positive. They consider themselves as veterans, and you know they've been in a lot of games here, and a lot of big games here down the stretch, and nothing seems too big, you know, for these guys right now. And you've seen Miles and his progression throughout the course of the season, and how he's getting better, and how Boston is getting better, and Greg has just made his impact here in the last couple of weeks. So, you know, like I said, they might be young, but they don't feel young. They don't want to consider themselves as young. They're veteran players, and that's a credit to them. And nothing's too big for them right now.
Doug, is there a developing relationship or developed relationship between Carson and Miles that maybe we don't get to see until game day that you see in practice? And what does that mean if that's so? What does that mean for the future of this franchise? We have a young running back, a young quarterback, and kind of grow together. Have you seen that? You know, what that means?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's encouraging, you know, obviously not only for the remainder of this season, for I think the future and the near future. But that's what you got to have. You got to have, you know, to be successful in the teams that are successful in this league and can sustain that success. I think quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers, and in our case, tight ends, having that nucleus of guys around the quarterback, you can sustain that success, I believe. And I saw it in Green Bay, you know, when we had, you know, back-to-back-to-back NFC championship games and two Super Bowls back-to-back. And, you know, you just look at the history of the league, and it seems like those core guys are together a lot. And we just hope that, you know, as we grow with Carson and Miles, that we just continue to add pieces to that. Yeah. I mean, you saw the potential. You saw the talent, obviously. It's just encouraging to see the success that Miles has had. You know, because really, when you go back a few weeks when Jordan was in there, you didn't see Miles right as much or making some of the plays that he's making now. And now that he's kind of been the guy, you're seeing more and more of him, and his versatility, both running and catching the football, has made an impact and really helped us win these last couple of games.
Thanks, Doug.
Okay.
Here he is. It was Doug. You know, the only thing that really matters is who's coming back. Is he going to get Lane back? Now, Lane's a beast. He's not going to do anything until probably Thursday, Friday. So I guess we'll get a better gauge as to if he can do anything on Thursday, Friday. He's been a beast before. They need Barnett back.
Yeah.
That defensive line.
Consistent pass rush.
Because, you know, listen, it's funny because people have talked, like, where's Fletcher at? Well, I think part of what Fletcher's going through is they're just double.
Yeah.
They're just double, triple, like, go ahead. Let's stop Cox. And I think Barnett is a huge piece. He's got to get back.
Another name, Jordan Howard. He mentioned that he was trending in the right direction. But
I can't believe anything with Jordan Howard.
Right before the press conference, John Clark put out a tweet saying, I'm told that Jordan Howard has made a lot of progress over the last week and is the closest he has been to returning. Now, Doug didn't say anything.
I believe that when I see it. You know, it's all talk now. I believe, you know, hopefully... Look, if you can go all hands on deck, it's the Cowboys, man.
He went Nelly again, by the way.
The best line was Tasty Gate John. Nelly is the most repugnant name in all Philadelphia sports. If I say to you, Nelly, do you not cringe?
I want to vomit.
Does your skin not crawl?
It does.
It does, right?
It does.
It's like saying, I don't know, maggot. Right?
Yes, it is like saying maggot.
Like a skeevy word.
Or ointment. Yeah. Moist. A lot of them.
Oh, my God. It's great. By the way, the DP press conference, Dougie P, presented by Corpoli's Bakery and Deli, world famous tomato pie. We'll come back, talk to everybody. Interesting, though, he did say, so, well, with all these young guys, you can't be too creative. Did you notice that?
Yes.
He said, you can't be too creative. Then he said, well, these guys can handle anything. Well, which is it?
I think it's more so that you can't be too creative. I get what he's saying by the mental block thing. Because you really haven't seen creative plays.
No.
And I get it, because these guys are still trying to learn the NFL playbook as it is. Some of these younger players.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, do you trust Arthego Whiteside to run a creative?
No, I don't think he's good. Quite frankly, he does not run good. Chris Brown. He's not
right. You know, so do you trust him to be creative? I don't trust.
No, I mean, but you listen. Here's the problem. You gotta you played the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Redskins. Three donkeys. And you almost lost all three, you could say. You were 2-1 with good fortune, right?
Yeah.
So you got to be creative. You got to figure it out, man. Boys, you still looking for that special Christmas present for your wife, your girlfriend? Treat her to the very best this year. The world's softest pajamas from our friends at Pajama Grant. Because the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud. They're like cashmere, only better. Cashmere with no dots. She'll love the way they feel, the softness, the warmth, the comfort. You'll love the way they look. Best of all, you don't have to wrap them. Every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery by Christmas is guaranteed. Plus, they're backed by 100% guaranteed lifetime guarantee. So you risk nothing. Thousands of guys just like you have made their loved ones happy. Why? Because they're giving the loved ones the world's softest pajamas. It's giving the woman the softest pajamas you can, too. But you got to get these amazing PJs today. Because normally they sell up before Christmas. So here's what you do. It's simple. Go to pajamagram.com right now. Pajamagram.com. And tell them Anthony sent you.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
All right.
The one thing Doug said that I really agree with, they got to stop making it so hard on themselves. These drives are painstaking. Now, I guess that's just because you have a dearth of speed, right? But these drives, oh, they inch along. They had 16 third downs yesterday against the Redskins. 16. Now, they were good, 11 for 16. But that's entirely too many drives. You got to get some easy, some chunks. You got to get the chunk plays, man. I know it's hard, but you got to somehow devise some big plays, chunk plays. When you're throwing a ball, when you're running that many plays, just so much could go wrong.
The thing is, I don't even see them attempting to throw downfield.
I know.
Like a deep shot. I get it. You don't have DeSean Jackson. You don't have the speed to do it. I don't know how fast Greg Ward is. You bring in Rob Davis, who didn't even really get on the field. I don't even think he got on the field yesterday. So you don't have that traditional deep threat, but every once in a while, you got to keep the defense honest. It's like when you pass. Every once in a while, you got to run the ball to keep them honest. It's the same thing with going downfield. It's 8 yards to Ertz.
And therein lies the issue, because they average like 5.5 yards per pass.
Yes.
Go around a league.
Uh-huh.
These teams around the league, you're averaging 9-10 yards per pass.
I'll look up the starting quarterbacks. I guarantee you guys like Mahomes.
But he's like thrown in a box. Right, he's thrown in a box. You know what I'm dying to see more of? I need to see Ertz downfield.
Yes.
How come Ertz is in 25 yards downfield?
Well, the one time he was last week against the Giants.
We've been saying forever. Just come on, let Ertz go down the field. Let's get some chunk plays. You got to need it against Dallas. You need it against the Cowboys.
Give me a wheel route to Sanders.
Yeah.
Because he's honestly been your deep threat.
I know. No, it's the truth. It really is. Don't forget the wheel coming up at 1 o'clock. We're going to call out a name. And you have 10 minutes to call us back. Make sure you get the double prize available.
Yeah, the first prize from the morning show was the pair of tickets for the Hella Mega Tour.
And then we spin, and then you get those tickets plus whatever we spin.
Instead of the double doink, you got the double prize.
Who's you going to spin it?
Nah, that's all you, man.
I don't know. I don't trust my
ass. Oh, this is your dream. You watched all that Price is Right when you were a kid?
I did not watch all that Price. I'm not a big watch to Price is Right watcher. I watched it a couple times. Hey, if I hated it. Mikey Miss is a big game show, man. He should be a game show. He's unbelievable at it. Let me go to Dougie in Williamstown. The Doug. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, gentlemen? It's so nice to have another game that means something. So my hat's
amen, my brother.
For them fighting. I'm sitting here screaming while you guys are talking. Let's run some wheel routes to Sanders. How about we try that a little bit?
Right, but wheel route, send Ertz or Goddard down the field, something.
Yeah, double team with the tight ends maybe, I don't know. But my biggest thing is I want to go back to, and is My problem is, can we get somebody to catch the ball on special teams on a punt and not get the ball down all the time inside the five? Can we actually get a stop where we get field possession around the 50? Can we actually get a kick return? I mean, it's like special teams and defense. Jim Schwartz does nothing creative. How about he sends a blitz up the middle to try to free up Cox a little bit? Once Cox gets a hit on the quarterback, he tends to get fired up a little bit. How about you try to get your star going, too, on defense?
I agree. I'm right there with you, Dougie.
That's my problem. I mean, we are talking about these long drives, but Ant, do we have any drives in these last 3 weeks that really have started near midfield? We don't get a turnover. We don't get anything, and it's sad. We don't get any momentum going. As soon as we give up, we get a touchdown, we give one up. We give one up. It's like watching table tennis.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's true. And here's the other thing, too. Like, you bring up the blitzes. Remember the corner blitz that early in the, I guess it was the early in the game, first quarter, they run a corner blitz, and it's like right into the teeth of the hot rod. Like, it was so easy to figure out that even you got to disguise it. You got to try to mess, and you just got to kind of fool with a quarterback like him. You know what I mean? When you got a kid like that, Haskins, who's that green, you got to show some certain things. Disguise what you're doing.
Well, the last 2 weeks, you got a guy that does not want to be hit, that you don't try to hit him. And then this week, you got a rookie that you don't want to hit. I don't understand how you're allowing this kid to just stand in the pocket.
I agree.
Jim Schwartz has been so, you want to talk about uncreative. I mean, he's the one, he's my go-to hate on this team. I just can't see Schwartz because he does nothing like, and even guys like Darby, McLeod, and Jenkins were all really good players before they got here. I don't know what happened to them. I mean, our secondary, what's the last play of safeties made on the Eagles team as far as a big play to change?
Yeah. You're right on. No, I mean, look, I mean, McLeod's slow, right? I mean, he's having trouble. And you saw the breakdown yesterday with Maddox. I mean, I feel you.
And one last thing. All these years I've been listening to you, Ant, since the other station and all, today, with all the technology we have, when can we get a press conference so we can actually hear the people asking the questions?
Bro, I hear you, man. It's so frustrating. You're exactly right. It's so frustrating. I know.
Are you coming back to Tilted Kilt anytime soon?
I don't know. That's a great question. I'm not sure where we're headed to. Hopefully.
Well, that's around the corner for me.
Well, so. I would love to see you, Dougie. I'm sure we'll be there soon again.
Okay, keep me posted. And if you could, announce more where your guys are going to be beforehand during the week. So I'd like to get out and see you, and we don't hear that enough.
You got it, brother. Don't forget, on Fridays, we're at Marlton Chickies and Pete's, which isn't too far. But we'll definitely keep you.
Up there this week.
Thank you, Dougie. Merry Christmas, buddy. No, without a doubt. We'll keep you posted. Hey, Tyrone! There he is. This is a Ty. This is Ty guy.
Ty and I celebrated yesterday.
Yeah, nice. Here the fellas.
I gotta show you the video that the bro took.
Oh, of the Bradham cover.
Yes.
Oh God.
Oh, that's great. How about it, Nat?
That was awesome.
I know.
What a great ending.
It was a great ending. To these two smiling faces right here.
I know.
It's a very good ending.
I bet.
All of a sudden, Tyrone gets a big smile. You know, Tyrone would smile about nothing. Unless it was a Bean or Simmons.
Yeah.
Or Wentz. My man, that's beautiful. How was your game, Nat? What did you do?
It was awesome. Well, I did Birds Outsiders.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
Yeah, it was
now,
great.
How do you configure? Where do you watch the game?
We watch the game in studio at NBC.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we film after post-game live.
Right. Which is great. I mean, that's a great double-double.
Yeah, it was awesome. So, you know, we take all the social media reaction, and people were just on a roller coaster yesterday.
Sure.
I mean, the whole season has been one, but it's been so cool. And that was just such a nice, fun football win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was just, I feel like it was so good for morale.
Well, you know what it is? God forbid you lose that game after playing as poorly as you did against the Giants.
Right.
That precedes the Dolphins game. None of it matters because you at least have a chance now. We got a real game Sunday against the Cowboys.
And the ending, trailing with, you know, a minute and a half left.
Yes.
To carry that momentum.
Right.
I'm fired up.
There you go. I like it, Nat.
Dallas sucks.
Way to go. Dallas sucks. I love it. Stay tuned for Nat with the update.
Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up?
Okay, don't worry about it. Enjoy the win, man.
Coming up, we spin the wheel. We got Eagles Cowboys. 425. Buck and Aikman.
Oh, man, yesterday was terrible.
What did I tell I was going to get you. I was going to get Buck on.
So your boy Thome.
Yeah, Thome's horrible.
Chris Spielman, there was a moment yesterday when they were talking about Boston Scott and how he had a good week against the Giants. And,
right.
And the sideline reporter was saying, you know, Boston doesn't want to get too excited because he knows in this league you can have a great week one week and then be humbled the following week by having a really bad week. And Spielman's response was, yeah, and I tell you, being humbled is a humbling experience. And I'm just like, what? He said a few dumb things yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, Thome was actually, for him, I thought decent yesterday.
Wait, he's a voice, right?
Well, but he gave you like a decent excitement. Like, that was actually a good call. Like, do you have the touchdown to give me the one? In fact, play the Revenant, which is great. And then give me the give me both touchdowns with the Revenant on Ward and the Miles Sanders first, and then the game winner with Ward. Was a good call, because at first, like, it was tough to discern what happened, and he goes, how in the world did Wentz get him the football? Like, that was a good call,
reminiscent of the Sean McDonough call when the Monday Night Football, when
yes,
the entire Redskins defensive, yes, line was on Wentz,
yes,
and he escapes.
Yes, yes. All right, you had the Ward one.
All right, let's see. Wentz looking around in the end zone, throws in the back corner.
I just got the chills. That actually was, both of them were really good. I got chills.
Because I can.
Especially with that in the background. Come on, how could you rip that kid after those, at least the last two performances, clutch? The clutch gene.
I should read some of the responses too, because when you start the show, I like to put out one of your quotes on Twitter,
right,
so
right,
people
right.
know what, sort of the direction that we're going in. And I put out one of your quotes about Carson.
Yeah.
And it was like I was screaming the same thing, hold on to the ball, don't fumble the ball. Yeah. But then you mentioned the good stuff that Carson did. And of course, people responded right away. Three fumbles. He missed Ertz.
See, here's one thing. Quarterbacks are going to miss receivers throughout the game. Like, you guys, it's not the first football game that you've seen. The great quarterbacks are going to miss guys open. And by the way, you don't know what the play call was. You have no idea. Protection. There's a lot when it comes to that. So listen, if you see a ball that is, you can tell when it's the quarterback's fault. Like, for instance, there was a play where Goddard, when he makes that great catch. Now, Arcega Whiteside gets in his way. Look where the ball was thrown. The ball was thrown, so if Goddard's not, if he doesn't get...
If he's by his own guy.
Right, if he doesn't get clunged up by him, he catches it on the run. It's on the money. You gotta look exactly at the totality of the play. There are times when, you know, go back to the touchdown to Ertz. That ball's behind him. All right, ball's behind him. We judge this kid on, like, absolute perfection. And it's ludicrous. You wonder why, you know, people go, oh, Dan Orlovsky, he's got Carson, he wears Carson goggles. He's just trying to tell you, as someone who actually played quarterback in the NFL, he's trying to explain to you what it's like. What are you seeing?
One of the responses, Ziggy, he goes, Super Bowl champs all of a sudden. You guys need to shut the hell up about this Eagles team. They're terrible.
Okay.
In response to your Carson Wentz quote.
Look, here's the thing. Ziggy. J-O of J-O's. Quite frankly, I think you're an a-hole. You know. Call it the way you say it. No one has said that the Eagles are a great team. In fact, we've railed them, you know, in addition to saying how terrific it is, just from a fan perspective, to have a football game that matters 3 days before Christmas. Look, I'm weird, okay? You want to shoot me? Go ahead. All right? I'm weird. I like when they matter. And I particularly like when they matter around the holidays. Like I think sports and the holidays goes together. Like I've always associated sports with the holidays. My favorite time of the year. I love Christmas. I love the Eve. I love bowl season, New Year's, Philadelphia. It's a Philadelphia tradition, right? All that stuff. From Thanksgiving through the end of the holidays is the best time of the year. And I like when the Eagles are good. And the fact that the Eagles are playing the Cowboys on Sunday for the flipping division, you know what? Makes me happy. I know they stink, but makes me happy. It's 1 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast, where Beasley Media Group station. Time now to call out a name. Tunis.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.